You could have six, depending on which version of the Bible you're reading, but since you're all reading that one, I think it's five. I think it's five times the word saw appears in verses 1 to 14. Five times. So, Mary saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance to the tomb. Now, that's not an opinion. It's an observation. She saw it. It was evidence. This was a physical thing. And what does Mary think has happened? They've taken the Lord out of the tomb. Someone has stolen the body. Who's they? Who is she referring to? The Romans? The Jewish leaders? Joseph of Arimathea? Who has taken the body? And that idea comes to her straight away. It may be that the disciples had feared that someone would try and do something with that body of Jesus, this man who had caused so much controversy. Say what you see. Mary runs to Peter and John and tells them what she has seen. Their teacher and Lord had been crucified. Crucified for crimes that he hadn't committed. Now Mary is saying that the tomb perhaps has been vandalized. The body stolen. What do Peter and John do? They immediately run to the tomb. They want to see for themselves. Now there's a lot of running going on here. It's quite exhausting, but let's bear with it. But it captures the frantic nature of that period of time. The younger but cautious John gets to the tomb first, we're told. But he waits outside. Verse 5, he bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. So we can move it, I don't know whether I can move it on, can I, or not? No, if you can move it on then, Keith. And then on again. He uses the common word, the common Greek word that suggests nothing more than just looking. But when reckless Peter gets there, he goes straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Now, the same word in our Bibles is used, saw, but it's a different word, of course, in the Greek. This word could be translated as looking carefully at something, examining something. And we get our word theatre from the Greek word. Audiences at a theatre will watch carefully. And then finally John does go in. Verse 8. He saw and believed, we're told. Again, another word is used in the Greek. It's translated as saw. This means seeing with understanding. He believed. Now another expression we often use, isn't it, is seeing is believing. And we're told in verse 8 that John sees and believes. What did he see? Why did that deepen his faith? Let's go back to verse 6 again. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Now that's a fantastic piece of detail there, isn't it? Why is that in our Bible? If someone had taken the body away, Why leave the linen and the cloths in a perfect way? Surely if the body had been taken by the authorities or grave robbers, they wouldn't have carefully taken off the cloths and laid them neatly in place. Both the disciples saw this. John sees and he realizes just how important that observation is. And in time, he will write down that evidence in his gospel. Say what you see. Tom Wright, an author, puts it like this. It looks as though the body wasn't picked up and unwrapped, but had just disappeared, leaving the empty cloths like a collapsed balloon when the air has gone out of it. John Stott uses the image of a discarded chrysalis from which the butterfly had emerged. Do you remember earlier in John's Gospel, we heard about Lazarus being raised from the dead? Lazarus was raised in his old body. He couldn't pass through grave clothes, so friends had to unwrap the linen from around his body. But Jesus was raised with a resurrection body, a body that was no longer subject to death. That new body was physical, yet it could pass through grave clothes, leaving them there intact. And later we're told, of course, that he would pass through closed doors. He would appear and disappear suddenly at will. Jesus had left behind his grave clothes as he moved to a new order of existence. Jesus was raised from the dead by God, and he will never die again. For Lazarus, the victory over death was temporary. In the case of Jesus, death was defeated permanently. He rose from the dead, never to die again. So everything changes. John sees the truth that's lying before him. He sees, he believes. He believes in the resurrection, not just the resurrection that will take place, as Martha said it, at the last day, to all of us, but in resurrection that happened in his time. Peter and John returned to their homes, desperate to tell the other disciples. But Mary stays behind. Her grieving is still going on. Jesus had delivered her from evil, you remember. He had treated her with respect and love. No one else had treated her in the way that Jesus had treated her. She was full of love and gratitude, and she felt that she had to be near him. And through her tears, she sees two angels seated where Jesus' body had been. As one writer puts it, the place of Jesus' death was between two thieves. The place of his burial was between two angels. She hears them ask her why she is crying. And maybe that's to help her with the dawning realization that there would be no need to cry, for resurrection had happened. And now she becomes aware of another person behind her. She turns to face him. But maybe that was only for a split moment, because later in verse 16, we know that she's facing away from him. Maybe she sensed his authority. She's not expecting to see Jesus, but he asks her the same questions as the angels did. Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for? And thinking he was a gardener, she says, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." She's still searching for a body instead of the resurrected Lord. But then she hears that word, her own name. Everything changes. Mary. Life would never be the same again. One moment she was in tears, the next she's overjoyed. One moment she's lost and grieving, the next she is the first to see and reconnect with the resurrected Lord. A new, wonderful relationship comes about. Everything has changed. Peter, John, Mary, and all the other followers of Jesus had their lives transformed by what happened on Easter Sunday. Life might still throw up the same old stuff, but their attitude would change. They could look at things in a new light. They were different from the inside. Everything had changed. Things would never be the same again. And that's true for us too. After today, our routines continue. There will be the regular events appearing on the notice sheet. We'll find ourselves going to our groups, saying our prayers, singing our songs, reading the Bible. But it's all enriched by Jesus. Indeed, if it wasn't for Jesus and what happened at Easter, there would be no point to any of the things that we do together. We know that there are even greater things in store for us if we keep on trusting Jesus. On that Easter morning, everything changed. Two Corinthians 4 verse 18 says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is temporary, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Let's pray. Father, we come to Easter each year, and maybe this year, Lord, maybe it will just come afresh to us. Maybe something will really hit home this Easter, that we will know that things will not be the same, that we have been changed, that there is a new purpose in our lives. Thank you, Father, for raising Jesus from the dead. And may we serve you with gladness and joy, for our lives have changed. Amen. It's a magic trick. Oh, yeah.
This is not part of the talk, by the way. Sorry.
Thank you. Who likes that?